Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
But you already know that because you support us here on Patreon and listen to these things over here. We just finished Best Justice League Team Ever. We gave our choices. You can go listen to that podcast. We have all our roles. Actually, any surprises on my team? What do you think?
Almost all of them.
Almost all of them. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the team as a whole?
I think it sounds like a pretty solid team. You always build really good. Mm. You build powerhouse teams.
I do.
You put a lot of thought into your teams, and I'm mostly like, how can I cram a character that I like into this role?
I mean, you put two Robins on your team and two Green Lanterns, and I was like, she's dipping into the red, and she's dipping into the green.
I put two really strong ladies on my team.
She likes the Christmas colors on her Justice League.
I do. They were my high school colors.
There you go. So we definitely, what influenced us on our list are, of course, some of our favorite Justice League teams, some of our favorite Justice League storylines. So, Ashley, do you have a favorite Justice League team? Is there a creative team or a creative story like Justice League team that you really like? Now, I'm going to guess that you might really like Justice League International since you named your team Justice League International.
I do.
Sorry to interrupt you. Whoever your team is, inform us a little bit about who's on that team and basically what they did.
On my team?
Yeah. Is your favorite Justice League the Justice League International?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
The Justice League International is Rocket Red, Fire and Ice,
Batman,
Booster Gold, Blue Beetle.
Yeah, and there's a couple others in there.
And there are some other ancillary.
Guy Gardner.
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Martian Manhunter.
Sometimes. Those are the main team members. Mm-hmm. Batman is a sometimes character as well.
Yeah.
But the thing that I like about the Justice League International is that they tackle the stuff that the Justice League of America doesn't have time for.
Okay.
So I like that you get the DC Universe, for my money, does a really good job at showing you how the whole world gets protected.
Yes.
And I like that the Justice League International stands for that.
Okay.
And I like that they stand for people who don't live in Gotham City or New York City.
Which is something that a lot of comic book companies forget.
Right. And I get it. But there are also readers all over the world. So like maybe that's a good thing to touch on. The Justice League International is also a very funny book.
Yeah, totally.
And I do
Keith Given, baby.
Oh man. Wahaha. I do like some serious Justice Leagues. Like my favorite, if you're going for like a Justice League of America, like the Grant Morrison JLA is very much my favorite and one of my imprints for what I think that team should be. And that is like very serious, very grown up, dark superhero storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that the Justice League International can tackle the same kind of issues and do it with a certain amount of levity. And they really lean into their cultural differences and they pull the humor out of there. Like Rocket Red is a total buzzkill when you first meet him.
Yeah.
But he winds up being really funny and really heroic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they take characters that, I mean, even Fire and Ice, that are like goofy. Not goofy, ha-ha, but sometimes goofy like they're a dumb idea.
Yes.
Or they're an idea that hasn't transcended as well. And they celebrate that goofiness and poke fun at it, but they still let you know that these are important characters and that they deserve to be celebrated in the same breath as a character like Batman and Superman.
Nice.
And I read it on a plane once, and there was a really tall dude beside me who read it over my shoulder the entire time. So I feel like it brings people together.
Creepily.
No, but it was a nice experience.
Nice.
And that was what I was hoping that Justice League United, aka Justice League Canada, was
the
going
Jeff Lemire
to be
book in the New 52.
Yes, and as a Canadian, there are parts of that story, and there are a lot of characters in that story that I really like.
Yeah,
but I feel like it sort of falls apart on the way there, whereas JLI very much sticks the landing.
Well, Justice League Canada or Justice League United kind of got screwed by Forever Evil.
It totally did.
Because I actually think like the first four issues are pretty
decent. Yeah.
And then they start like going into this Forever Evil stuff and then the series just ends and you're just like, oh, what was this again? Okay.
Yeah. And I think it's too bad because I think that was a series that had a lot of promise.
Well, is a series team led by Green Arrow, Martian Manhunter, Stargirl, and then Adam Strange, who I love.
Yeah.
And I loved his new design. I was like, that's a great team right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. There you go.
So tell me a little bit about your favorite Justice Leaguers, who's on them, what
My
they do.
My favorite Justice League team is a team that I've mentioned over and over and over on Geek History Lesson, JLA. Grant Morrison, Howard Porter. And before then, I never considered the Justice League to be really anything important. And then putting the seven core members on there with Martian Manhunter. Mm-hmm. If you notice, I have three of those team members.
Yes.
Like there. I mean, I tried to figure out how to get Aquaman on there. I'm not a big Aquaman fan. My favorite Aquaman is Harpoon Hand Aquaman.
But he really works on that team.
He works on that team. Every member works in that team. And I'm not so big on some of his choices when Grant Morrison expands the team in issue 14 mm-hmm. and goes for the full Olympian team. I love that he puts Steel on there. I don't agree with Huntress. Zor-El is an interesting choice. Mm-hmm. Aztec is a hero that I tried to figure out how to bring him on my team, but I couldn't justify it.
Yeah.
But Aztec is one of those DC characters. And by the way, if you've never read the 10-issue Aztec series, Grant Morrison and Mark Miller co-wrote it.
Nice.
It is so good. It's so good. And Aztec is one of these heroes. I mean, they killed him off in JLA.
Yeah.
They do kill him. So they're like, he's our character. But Aztec's one of those DC characters that I'm like, how has he never come back?
Right.
Like he's great. He has an amazing look.
There's been enough reboots since then, too, that he could have come back.
Yeah. It kind of makes me wonder if Grant Morrison or Mark Miller has some piece of ownership on him, maybe.
They might. They might.
But Aztec has appeared in the Justice League cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like characters like that, Connor Hawk, Green Arrow,
yes.
Their storylines are so amazing. Like Rock of Ages, where you're fighting Darkseid in the new Injustice League. I love the, their team up. They restarted the team up with the JSA
mm-hmm.
and they reintroduced Jakeem Thunder, the new Johnny Lightning, Johnny Thunder. And even though the last storyline, the World War III storyline, goes a little crazy where the whole world gets superpowers, I still think that the Grant Morrison, Howard Porter is the Justice League run to aspire to. If you're any kind of Justice League storyteller, that's the run you look up to. And to me, ever since Grant Morrison, Mark Waid did a fantastic follow-up. Mark Waid's run, I think, is like just below Grant Morrison's with mm-hmm. Tower of Babel and all these weird... And Brian Hitch drew that, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Which I think is fitting that now Brian Hitch, when he got his JLA in the New 52, he is the person that reminds me the most of Grant Morrison's run. And it kind of and it kind of sucks that his run got interrupted.
It did, yeah.
By Rebirth, but I'm so glad that he's still getting to write Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I just got to talk to him about the book and stuff like that. And he said that he's bringing a lot of those old storylines over to his JLA storylines over to Justice League.
That's so.
So he's going to continue because when I first talked to him when he took JLA on, he said that he had 50 issues. He was mm-hmm. he's like I have a 50 issue arc, and I was like, holy God, there's no you're not that fast. You can't draw that fast.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that he's got Tony Daniel as his artist, mm-hmm. so hopefully he can keep it up. And he has a second co-artist too. But Brian Hitch, I think, is the closest since Mark Waid to capturing that like. The Justice League to me has to be, and it can get a little old, the universe imploding.
Yes.
That's the only reason why Superman's going to team up with somebody.
Well, besides just a partnership.
Yeah. And that's, I think, a way is how the Justice League movie can really set itself apart from the Avengers. If mm-hmm. the universe is going to implode, like in that movie, holy God.
Oh so are you're particularly excited for the Rebirth Justice League story?
I actually am really excited for that because I actually think the two Green Lantern, the rookie Green Lanterns on there are going to mm-hmm. be very interesting. I also think the new Superman is going to be interesting that since it's the pre-New 52 Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's going to see the whole team as amateurs. I think he's going to be like, yeah, you may be Batman, but you're not my Batman.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
not a Batman that's lived through no man's land.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think you're as good.
I will say that I read the Grant Morrison JLA run because you recommended it to me.
Yes.
And I don't know if I'd ever read a Justice League book before that.
Oh, yeah?
And so, like, I mean, I knew what some of the stories were. And I think I read some of the single issues that were involved in events, but I never...
I think it took you a couple issues to get into it, too.
It did, because it is very different yes. from what your preconceived idea from the cartoon is, because mm-hmm. that's where I first met the Justice
oh, yeah.
League. Which I'm sure will come up on an upcoming 10-cent origin.
Yeah.
But for me, that's really informed what I judge a lot of other Justice League stories on now, because right. it is so solid.
What is some? Do you have some favorite Justice League storylines?
I mean, outside of that run, not really.
Okay, well, we can move on.
Sorry.
I kind of name-dropped a lot of mine, too. I was going to say one that I don't think gets enough credit, and it is sort of your Justice League, but not quite, is Justice League Generation Lost.
I've never read that.
You've read pieces of it because I know I've let you borrow it once.
Yes.
But that is Booster Gold sort of reforming the Justice League International after Maxwell Lord comes back to life.
Oh, yes. I have a forever.
In Blackest Night. And it's very humorous, but it's a more serious Booster Gold. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that's a Justice League miniseries that doesn't get enough credit. But let's move on into, and I hope this informed how you formed your Justice League. What do you think needs to be in a Justice League story? So here you go. I'm an editor at DC.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Mark Doyle.
I don't edit Justice League. It's Brian Cunningham, but sure.
Hello, DC editor.
I'm random DC editor who has the Justice League title. Ashley Robinson, I'm going to give you the book, but what do you think needs to be in the book? What needs to be in Justice League stories for you?
For me, what needs to be in Justice League stories is an equal mix of inter and intrapersonal conflicts. You need a reason for the team to unite that is bigger than themselves. Usually the world is going to end at the hands of usually a villain that we recognize. That needs to be interesting and dynamic because we're 75 plus years into DC Comics history.
Yep.
Like Lex Luthor in a suit is not enough anymore. You have to have a thoughtful reason for everyone to be together. The idea that the Justice League is a standing team is a fine idea, but I think it's better if the team forms to fit specific needs, and it lets you bring in more outsider characters. You can bring in characters like Simon Baz, like Rocket, and you can elevate characters that maybe need that, maybe need to be taken a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
And I think that,
like Gnort.
Exactly. And Dexstar, who need a Red Lantern.
Yeah, Dexstar on the Justice League. That makes sense. Woo.
That'll be a best Justice League ever version 2.0. Dexstar is leader.
Dexstar is leader of the Justice League. All right.
Calling it right now. But I think that the intrapersonal, like their relationships and their conflicts, is equally as important because it doesn't necessarily need to be clicky. But if they all get along, it's not interesting. And if there's all this infighting, it's not interesting. Like in the JLA story where Wonder Woman and Aquaman are romantically involved, that's something that for me really came out of left field, but was really fascinating and taught you a lot about, like, he's an Atlantean, she's an Amazonian, they're mythic ideas on Earth. Of course they would date.
They're also royalty.
Yes.
They're both royalty.
And if you can use their interpersonal conflict to parallel the interpersonal conflict that's going on out in the world, I think that is what makes Justice League really special, because it is a way to tell a grand theme across two different storylines. That's the kind of thing that I think makes a Justice League story great. Now I'm the editor at DC. Jason Immonen, I really want to give you this Justice League book. What do you want in it?
They're gods.
Mm.
They're the gods among us, and they have to constantly fight with their roles.
I see what you did there with injustice
about,
gods among us.
Yes, and they have to constantly fight with their roles of, are they above us or are they part of us? And mm-hmm. that's the conflict of the entire story. Do they save the Earth and let 10,000 die because they're gods? Or do they save the Earth and let no one die because they're mortals?
Hmm.
And it's the fight between the two at all times. And it's the fight between the gods about who's right, who's wrong. And what's best for humanity. And everybody on that team is going to have a different idea about what's best for humanity.
Yes.
And it's all about, every story is about which member of the Justice League, which member of the gods wins that with their will.
Mm.
And each storyline is going to be different. Sometimes Batman's going to win. Sometimes Aquaman's going to win. Sometimes Steel's going to win. Sometimes Ambush Bug going to come from nowhere and win.
I want to ask you, do you like it best when the Justice League is not based on Earth?
Yeah.
I think the Watchtower is integral.
Yes. And it's so funny because the Watchtower is a Grant Morrison invention.
Yeah.
I think the Watchtower is so integral. I kind of like the Watchtower on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm showing my bias, of course, because I think the Watchtower in orbit is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the Hall of Justice. I don't like that the villains could walk up to the Justice League's front door and just knock on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's got to be difficult to get there. And also, again, the Justice League fights a lot of aliens, a lot more aliens than the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, being on the moon means that they're like a first defense
mm-hmm.
against the aliens. More recently they've added that there's a Hall of Justice now and a Watchtower.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I just don't like it. I think the Justice League headquarters should be secret.
Mm-hmm.
But I also agree with you that maybe the Justice League also should just not have a headquarters.
Yeah.
Because I kind of do like the idea, and that's just something like that Brian Hitch played around with, that the Justice League only comes together when the thing happens. And otherwise, they're just on their own.
Right. I always think it's weird that there's like a standing meeting.
Or there's a monitor duty or whatever.
Yeah, like I understand it. And sometimes like in the Justice League, the Christmas episode where like Batman takes monitor duty on Christmas Eve.
He always does on Christmas Eve.
Like that, you can use that to be telling about the characters. But I think that they would be like, they all have the watch and you get your watch signal and then we all meet at this determined location.
It's the Batcave.
Sure. Yeah.
It's going to be somewhere that Batman has made.
Like, yeah.
Batman's going to have some bunker somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is how I think you could introduce Happy Harbor.
Interesting.
Into the movie universe. Mm-hmm. That's one of his secret bunkers.
Nice.
You know, but to me, that's what it is. It's always somewhere that Bruce built and they're going to meet. Like, do we need a watchtower? Probably not. But if we have a watchtower, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, totally. It kind of helps. But yeah, I do kind of feel the watchtower is needed. And I do think there's a reason it's called the watchtower, because it's the gods watching us. Like, the Justice League is gods. That's what they are. You know, but they're fighting with that they don't. Here's the Justice League. Here you go. The Justice League are all demigods that have been foisted into the role of godhood, full-on mm-hmm. godhood. But because they've been demigods for so long, they don't want it. But they're forced into these roles.
I like that.
That's the Justice League.
Nice.
Which is why it's so telling that Wonder Woman is now a demigod.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there you go. That's our thoughts on the Justice League and gods and religion.
Sort of.
Yeah, and wannabes. So there you go. Thank you guys all for your support on Patreon. We hope you liked our episode. Please let us know in the comments what was your best Justice League ever using our rules, and we'll tell you our thoughts on them. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
See you later, you Justice League suckers.